Are you in the market for a home, car, or student loan? Check out Lutheran Federal Credit Union. During November, when you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, or when you use your Lutheran FCU credit card for a qualifying amount of purchases, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their ministry of the month, Christian Friends of New Americans. Learn more at LutheranFCU.org. Lutheran FCU, good for you, good for the church. LutheranFCU.org.
Many of the feminists who have fought to break down some of the stereotypes, they're now very concerned that the transgender ideology is actually reinforcing those stereotypes. It's built upon those stereotypes.
To say something stupid like, I worship Christ and not the Bible, it really is just to say, well, I get to make up a Christ who looks just like me, and he gets to tell me what I want to hear, and therefore I'm free to ignore the parts of the Bible that my mouth and my penis and my ego don't like. Well, that's just wrong.
There is not a stronger statement of divine monergism than an infant being baptized, because the infant can do nothing for him or herself at all.
This is Flo from Idaho. Locked and loaded Lutheran ladies love listening to the straight shooters at Issues, etc.
Here is the headline from Religion News Service. Church-run credit unions keep the faith despite challenges. We've all heard about a credit union, but what is it, and why do so many associate with congregations, groups of Christians, even entire denominations? What is the history of the church-run credit union? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking with Pastor Ken Krieger, CEO of Lutheran Federal Credit Union, about Christian credit unions a little bit later. Trevor Sutton joins us. He is author of the Issues Etc., Book of the Month for November, Clearly Christian, Following Jesus in This Age of Confusion. We'll talk about Christians in an Age of Confusion. Dr. Russell Dawn joins us to continue our series on the U.S. Constitution. We'll be talking about three amendments that are usually known as the Civil War Amendments because they passed not only after the Civil War, shortly after the Civil War, but because of the issues raised with respect to the Constitution before and during the Civil War. And then it's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. At the last broadcast day of the week, we like to assemble four soundbites, play them for you, and let you, our listeners, decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. You can vote by giving us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, sending us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, or we have left space at our Facebook fan page for you to vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to talk about Christian credit unions, Pastor Ken Krieger. He's CEO of the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Ken, welcome to Issues Etc.
Todd, it's good to be here. Thank you very much.
I think a lot of people can't determine the difference between a credit union or a bank or some other financial institution. What is a credit union?
Well, let me answer that question by starting at the beginning, if you don't mind. So credit unions really can trace their history back to the 1800s in both Japan and Germany, ironically, and independently. And the idea in both those countries that was that there were certain populations that were underserved or unserved. And so the leaders in those communities decide to form this cooperative financial institution that really became the first form of microfinancing, so to speak. So in other words, credit unions trace their history back to Japan and Germany, and they've evolved to the point where essentially they're cooperative financial institutions that serve their members.
Then I guess the next question is, why do Christian denominations historically operate credit unions?
Yeah, so a lot of the Christian denominations or even congregations that have established credit unions did so for a particular reason. They realized that, especially from a congregational level, as they looked at their worshiping congregation, they had individuals who were not having their needs met by banks. And so they decided, well, maybe we can serve our members in a way that's good for them. And then that idea took off, and some larger denominations, such as the LCMS, also said, you know what? Maybe we can provide these services and benefits not just to one congregation, but to our entire body. And as we say here at the Lutheran Federal Credit Union, to do it in a way that's good for our members and good for the church.
The Religion News Service story that's titled Church-Run Credit Unions Keep the Faith Despite Challenges talks about the decline of religiously affiliated credit unions. Why is this?
Yeah, running a credit union is not an easy chore, to say the least. Part of the decline is that for especially many of these congregations that started their own credit union, these credit unions were run by volunteers. Their field of membership would consist of that congregation. So you're looking at credit unions that had somewhere between 100 and maybe 300 individual members. And the reality is that as time has gone on, the regulations have increased. So the cost of operating has increased tremendously over the past number of decades. And so these credit unions, they don't really have the opportunity to expand or to grow, and yet they're facing increasing costs from the regulations, so they just can't make it anymore.
What is the difference between a bank and a credit union?
Yeah, so banks, in all good and way, shape, or form, they are formed by individuals, whether as shareholders or just simply individual owners, to say, we want to provide financial services. And at the end of the day, banks are there to make a profit, whether it goes to a family or to an individual or to the shareholders. Credit unions, on the other hand, are a cooperative. And so rather than that profit, so to speak, going to the owners, it goes back to the members. Now, here in the United States, credit unions, because of that cooperative nature, have received a couple of benefits from the government starting about in the 1930s. As a federally chartered 501c1 organization, for example, we don't pay income taxes, and federal credit unions do not pay income taxes. We also don't have to pay those dividends or those profits to the owners or shareholders. We also are governed by a volunteer board of directors, so we don't pay them for their leadership. So all those funds that otherwise banks have to pay out to operate, we are able to keep back and put back into our membership. So generally, when you look across credit unions versus banks, if you have a deposit such as a savings account or a checking account, you're likely to earn a higher rate than you would at a bank. And when you borrow, especially whether it's for your home or a personal loan or your automobile, you're likely to borrow at a lower rate.
So you had mentioned the regulations putting some of religiously affiliated, the smaller ones, credit unions out of business. What other kind of impacts do government regulations have on Christian credit unions?
Well, you know, all those regulations are not necessarily a bad thing. The government's number one intent is to make sure that we protect deposits. So especially federal credit unions are regulated and insured by the National Credit Union Administration. And they are very keen in making sure that we don't go willy-nilly with our investments or operations and endanger the deposits of our members. And so, in some respect, that's very good of the government to make sure that those funds are protected. On the other hand, for example, with us being a de novo or a very new credit union, we are under even more regulations or restrictions than a credit union that has been operating for decades. And so we are very restricted in what we are able to do, and that somewhat limits our ability to meet all the needs of our various membership.
How are credit unions chartered?
So there are a couple different ways you can be chartered. There are state chartered credit unions. So you work with your particular state and you go through that process, and it means that you serve members only in that particular state. Or you can go the federal route, which is what we did, because we decided that we wanted to serve the body throughout the United States. So we are a 501c1 federally chartered credit union. It is a long process. It takes years, and you work with the NCUA, and that's what we did in beginning in 2013 and culminating at the end of 2014.
I'm more curious about the relationship is between Lutheran Federal Credit Union and the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. How would you describe that official relationship?
Well, the first thing I would say is, you know, I mentioned some of the benefits that credit unions have against banks, and there's a quid pro quo for that, so to speak. You have to have a very defined field of membership. And so I can answer about the relationship between the LCMS and the credit union, saying that our field of membership is confined or restricted to either members of LCMS congregations or LCMS ministries. So that's part of the relation. Structurally, we're not part of Synod per se. We are a separate 501c1. But operationally, it is as if we are part of the Synod. Again, that is our membership field.
Why is it important to have financial institutions that are dedicated to serving the members and the parishioners of church bodies like the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod?
Yeah, you know, that's a great question, because it is not necessary to do this, but I do think it is important because of the great benefits that we are able to provide. So again, our tagline is good for you and good for the church. As a credit union, we can do things. We can help members save at a higher rate and borrow at a lower rate. And that really does impact finances of families. But the other thing that we do is that we support ministry. So For example, we have a credit card and debit card reward program that we call our Ministry of the Month. Just like any other credit card, you probably have a reward, but ours is a little different. When you meet our threshold, when you meet our requirements, we'll give some cash back to you, but then we'll also give that same amount of cash back to our Ministry of the Month. So each month, a different ministry, a different LCMS ministry is benefiting from activities that are going to occur anyway. And so that's why I feel it's important for us to have it, because we're supporting the ministries of the church.
Finally, then, how can the Lutheran Federal Credit Union serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Talk about how that's done.
Well, as I kind of alluded to, we've been in operation for 3 years and have more than 3,200 members already. We continue to add about 70 new members each month. So we're growing because there's value. The NCOA came in and congratulated us on what we are able to do for our membership. But more important is what our members themselves see. Our opportunity is to continue to expand, to create greater awareness of the opportunities through the credit union for all members of the LCMS. And again, it really comes down to these are transactions that pretty much everyone has to do, whether you're talking your credit card or your mortgage, your auto loan, or just your savings or checking accounts. So why not do it in a way that's beneficial for you and in a way that actually helps promote ministry?
Find out more about the Lutheran Federal Credit Union at lutheranfcu.org. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union, good for you, good for the church. lutheranfcu.org. Pastor Ken Krieger is CEO of the Lutheran Federal Credit Union. Ken, thank you very much.
Todd, thank you very much.
When we come back, Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for November, Clearly Christian, will join us to talk about the Christian in an Age of Confusion.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th century. Jesus has come and brings pleasure eternal. The 11th century. The 8th century. The 4th century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Listen to what you want, when you want. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. This child, Jesus Christ, is the focus of every Christmas card that Emmanuel Press offers. Whether in stained glass, illumination, or classic works of art, Christmas cards from Emmanuel Press joyfully confess our Savior's birth with the words of Scripture and the poetry of hymns. Visit their website at emmanuelpress.us to create a custom assortment of cards, EmmanuelPress.us.